Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Tuesday, February 1st. It's been about a week since our last recording, and we are very happy to say that for the first time in Made in March history, this has been long talked about, long anticipated, we are having a guest on the show today. We brought on our good friend Dave. He's been watching just as much, if not arguably more, college basketball than us this year. So, Dave, welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to hear your college basketball analysis.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, ready to get to work here. We do have a special segment today. We haven't done one in probably a few weeks, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks, 2 weeks.
And Alex, would you like to introduce a special segment today?
Yeah, so we're bringing back the buy, sell, hold. It's getting to about that time of the year, probably about 40 days till Selection
40
Sunday.
40 on the money.
40 on the money, I was going to say. We got to ask the expert. 40 days till Selection Sunday?
All right. So yeah, buy, sell, hold. We've done this in the past. You guys know how it works. So we're going to list off about six or seven teams, and we're either going to buy, sell, hold, buy if you think this team is going to be better in the near future or in March, and then sell if you think the opposite, you don't like them going forward, and then hold if you're not quite sure.
Yeah, or if you just like them where they're at. And obviously, this is all relative to expectations of where the team's at right now. Wesley, do you want to kind of dive into that?
Yeah, so obviously teams have their rankings where they're at right now. If you're buying a team, you're kind of seeing them maybe moving up better than where they are right now. Sell. So, like, this is obviously relative where they are.
Yeah, so, like, if you sell the fifth best team in the country, you're not saying that they're a bunch of stinkers. You're saying that, you know what, you just don't like them as the fifth best team in the country.
And the same goes for, like, if they're either an unranked team or a low-ranked team. You don't see them, like, maybe not making the tournament or something like that or winning it all if you say, I'm going to buy them. I say they're going to win it all. So it goes both ways. It's all relative to where they where the team is at right now.
All right, Alex, who we got for the first team here?
First team we're going to start off with is Alabama.
I'm going to buy Alabama just because of where they're at right now. They are, I think, a seven-loss team. They're currently playing Auburn right now. This needs to be said. We are recording as they're playing Auburn on the road in Auburn. So if they were to pick up, that's a massive win.
It doesn't look like it right now.
What's the score? Can we get a quick
49-34, and now with they're in the first half.
They're likely cooked.
Auburn's putting up 50 bombs in the – man, that's impressive. But
– it is Auburn.
I think that's to be expected. Auburn is clearly the best team in the country. There are no debates on that anymore, thank God. But yeah, I like this Alabama team. Seven-loss team. They have the firepower to beat anybody, but they also have – they make the mistakes to lose to anybody. And I think they've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm hoping that they're able to correct that. Nate Oates is able to do something with that. And I think their schedule lightens up a bit down the line.
They have had a tough schedule.
They have had a really
I think they're
tough
like number one in strength of schedule in all of college basketball.
And they got their SEC Big 12 play. They got Baylor and picked up a win, which was just a huge, huge, huge win for Alabama. So I like where they're at right now. I don't want to say I don't care if they lose to Auburn, but they have some easier games coming up in Arkansas, Vanderbilt, A&M, South Carolina, that kind of thing. So they can string some wins together, I'd say, and get hot. So I'm buying Alabama.
To you, Dave.
I am also buying Alabama. You know, we just talked about their win against Baylor the other day. I did mention that to Hoster. I said this team loses the games that nobody thinks they should lose, but they're winning games that, you know, nobody thinks they should win.
It's very bad.
They're kind of like the Steelers in the NFL comparison. Okay, playing down their competition.
I think that's a terrible comparison because the Steelers are not fun to watch, in my opinion, at all. But I know what angle you're going for.
Yes.
Look, this team... It's got the potential to be a top five team. We saw it when they were ranked like that early in the season. And I honestly think the key to this team is Javon Quinterly. In their loss to Georgia, he was 1 or 2 for 9, didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They won against Baylor. I think he actually had a good game. Don't know the stats, but he had a good 20 game.
20 points.
Exactly. Points in that game.
Like, this team has the potential to, if they continue to, you know, string together their mediocre season and they get like not a great seed in the tournament, they have the potential to make a great run from that low seed.
They definitely have the firepower, and as much as I would love to be a contrarian here and disagree with you fellas, I'm going to buy as well. I mean, what do we think they're going to be in March Madness? Maybe an 8-6 seed?
I think they're 7.
Something like that.
I'd put them in 7.
It's dangerous.
Think about a 7 seed with Shackelford, Quinterly, and JD Davidson. That's too much firepower, and that's too much talent to not have at least reasonable success
exactly
towards the end of the season and in March Madness.
And they're a type of team that can get hot, too. And, yeah. And, like, they can go on, string together three wins, score 90 points a game in bowl.
And, obviously, they can have games where they throw up an absolute stinker. Alex, you've mentioned it before. They'll have games where they shoot, like, 20% from the field. And you look at them, and you're like, what are you doing? But I'm more looking at them as the upside because they've proven that they have a head upside, like the Baylor win.
Correct.
Okay, I agree with just about everything you guys said. I think they have the potential, but they can also lose to anyone, and for that reason, I'm going to hold. I mean, there's no explanation for losses to Iona, Georgia, Missouri. It's just unacceptable. And Memphis.
Also, Memphis is maybe the worst out of all.
Also, Davidson.
I would rather loss is better than a Memphis loss.
Also, Davidson. And Dave, I would 100% agree. I think Javon Quinterly is the key for this team. We've seen what he can do before, but this year, yes, he played good against Baylor. That's why he won. But if you look at the course of the full season, he's only shooting 25% from three this year. So I'm a firm hold on Alabama just because I think they're so prone to terrible losses. Even if they get a 7 seed, I could easily see a 10 seed blowing them out.
I got a question for you then. They moved Javon Quinterly to the bench. It's like a six man to try to light a spark under him or just get his stuff
on. College basketball does that more than any other sport. Have you guys noticed
it
that?
It didn't help him though.
Yeah.
Because he started against Baylor when he played good, which was his first good game in a few weeks.
Maybe month.
But like I know where you're coming from. Even though I bought them, they've just been so inconsistent that like it's difficult to
but
buy
yes,
a team like
that.
It's honestly
like, you're not
they have a lot
potential
of firepower. Yeah. We saw him last year.
No matter what side of the fence you're on here. It's hard to judge it anywhere you are because they could do anything and go either way. There's no definitive answer on Alabama. There hasn't been all season. So
a mid-major team playing Bama in the first round can look at it as, wow, we can beat this team. A lot of mid-major teams have done it before.
Shout out Iona.
But then you get the 1 or 2 seed who they could potentially see in the second round, and they're like, oh boy,
yeah, we could lose them. Yeah.
What does Wesley call these teams? Heartbeat teams?
Yeah.
Up down, up down.
Up down, up down. Ooh. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Who we got next?
Next team is Iowa State. Big 12 team started out 15-1, kind of on a slump recently.
Yeah, I'll kick it off, and I'm going to be a hard sell on Iowa State. So this team had a lot of hype. Maybe I will have to redact my Vegas statement and say Vegas maybe does know. They saw something coming in the future with Iowa State, having them always be underdogs. Maybe they didn't see the true talent of this team, but recently Iowa State's kind of been laying some eggs. They are the fifth best team in the Big 12, which is the best conference in college basketball.
Do they have the fifth best record in Big 12 conference play? Or
They might. I think they have the seventh.
Because I don't think their record in Big 12 plays that good. I think they have a losing record.
They're 3-6 in Big 12 play, but I think they are. Teams better than them are probably Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, and TCU, I'd say. I think they're still better than Texas, personally. I think that, but
I think it's kind of close, though.
It's close, though, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're both those teams are uninspiring, to say the least. recent losses to TCU, and today they just lost at home to Kansas without Ochai Agbaji. So that's a
normal
loss.
It was a 9-point loss, and it was not that close.
It was not that close, yes. Yeah. And then the recent wins have been Oklahoma State and Missouri. So take what you want with that in the past couple weeks. I mean, they've just been on a huge, huge slump. I think people got too high on them from their start of the season when they beat bad teams plus Xavier and Iowa, and then a win against – everybody thought the win against Memphis was, like, otherworldly, and now we're seeing that Memphis is terrible, and the win really honestly meant nothing. So I think this team got a little bit too overhyped in the beginning. Maybe by us a little bit, we kind of were like, oh, this Iowa State team could be for real. I was part of that. I know I love this Iowa State team starting, but I'm backpedaling on that, and I'm going to sell Iowa State right now where they're at and for the rest of the season.
I'm selling as well. You know, they lost to TCU, Texas Tech, who I'm not.
The Horned Frogs are good, though.
TCU is better than Iowa State.
TCU's good.
They're mediocre.
It's still not a great look.
Medium rare.
Not a great look. They lost to Texas Tech. I'm not that high on Texas Tech.
And whoa, what? You're not?
No. And then they also lost to Oklahoma, which isn't great. And literally in my notes I have, as far as I'm concerned, they don't have any good wins. Like, I don't see on their schedule, who have they beat? They beat, Missouri, looking at Oklahoma State.
Iowa.
I was
but I don't
great.
Think I was. I can't agree.
I was
not a great
win.
Texas, Holster and I, Alex and I are not very...
I don't think
I think they're about the same level.
Texas, to be
yeah,
honest.
I don't know. I think they're yeah. about the same level.
And honestly, like, I hate to once again agree with you guys because it's so lame, but I'm going to sell Iowa State. And I disagree with you, Wesley, in the sense that we overhyped them because, I'm not going to lie, at the beginning of the year, they looked really good. And at the beginning of the year, we thought the teams that they yeah, were beating were good teams. Yes, so I'm not going to discredit us for hyping them up at the beginning of the year. But, I mean, Alex, you said it. 3-6 in the Big 12. Like, I know the Big 12 is very competitive. Like, I know it. I got it loud and clear. And, I mean, I like how they're a great team. They typically keep the games pretty close, as you said. They covered a lot of spreads. But I have a lot of questions about just the contributors on that team outside of Brockington. Mm-hmm. Like, who else is going to really step up for them?
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Brockington's a nice piece, but he is not a superstar. He's not going to carry Iowa State. I'm a hard sell for those reasons. Gabe Kalischer's way too inconsistent.
He's been inconsistent his entire college career.
He's a solid player, but he's put up games where he scored like 25. I'm like, what? Like this? We've seen this like maybe five times throughout his entire career. Like, this is not sustainable.
They're a decent defensive team, but I don't know. If a team has a decent shooting night, they're going to get beat.
Let's get to one we have like some more disagreements on. Yep. Let's keep it going.
Next one's Providence, and I think this one's going to be
started
very
off. I know you got opinions on Providence.
I'm a big time buy on Providence. I mean, what has Providence not shown anyone? I mean, what are they, 17-2?
Yeah.
I think Ed Cooley is easily the second best coach in the Big East behind Jay Wright.
18-2.
They're getting healthy. A.J. Reeves is now back playing. He's still working into the flow of things. They picked up a big win against Marquette, who's been red hot.
Yep.
I don't know. They've got a great big man in Nate Watson. No one really knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
They're a deep
team. For 3 years, he's kind of flown under the radar.
I'm buying Providence big time.
Personally, I love Providence, but I'm going to have to hold right now. Right now, they're 15th in the country. The reason I'm holding, I do love this Providence team, I need to say, is because I don't see them moving past that point. Personally, I don't see them
you
moving
think
past that point.
That's like about their peak.
I think that's their peak is around maybe up to 13 at the highest, but I don't really see them crossing there. So I think 15 is where they're at right now, is probably right around their peak. Obviously they have two opportunities with Villanova to end off the season in the last month or so. So they have some opportunities there, I guess, to get that signature win to maybe inch closer to the top 10. Maybe they win one of those games. Obviously, I don't think they win both. I think Jay Wright is a superior coach to everybody else in the Big East, and I think he would never, ever let that happen. But I love this Providence team. Ed Cooley is doing a phenomenal job. This team is talented, but I don't think they're as talented as 18-2, and Ed Cooley is just having his players overperform.
I don't know about
they're projected.
Oh, Wesley. I think they should be, first off, way higher than 15. I would have them
about 18-2.
I would have them
here.
About 8-10 in the country. Let's look at their wins. Wisconsin on the road. No,
without
Johnny Davis.
Asterisk.
Obviously, but still,
on
it's
the
a
road.
Good win.
On the road.
On the road. Texas Tech, neutral site.
I know Davis doesn't like Texas Tech, but that's
UConn
a great win.
UConn on the road. Seton Hall. Xavier on the road. Marquette.
I agree with everything
wins.
You're saying.
They should be way higher than 15.
I'm a firm buy, Alex. I am 100% with you. They're a two-loss team that gets absolutely no buzz. And it's not like they
the
haven't played anybody.
The only person that likes Providence is Jerry Palm.
What's he
has
at, like
as
a three?
Two.
Two? Whoa. He's giving them some
he's
serious
the only
respect.
Person that likes Providence.
I don't like him that high.
And they just beat probably the hottest team in the nation in Marquette.
Yes, they are.
In that crowd. Obviously, in March Madness, you don't play at home crowds. I got it. But that crowd was electric. I don't know if it was from the foot
after
and a half of snow.
19 inches of snow.
When Nate Watson threw down that dunk, it's like a bomb erupted in there. I love this Providence team.
And
everything
you,
about them.
You look at their loss to Marquette and asterisk. No A.J. Reeves. A.J. Reeves. Obviously, it was a 30-point blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that's something to know.
I'm holding them. I agree they're being disrespected. They should be higher than where they're at right now. And so my hold the position is kind of off of the fact that they should be higher and that, like, the teams that, like, 8 to 10, that's kind of where I put them. Maybe definitely top 12.
I would argue that would maybe be a buy.
No, but, like, I know they're being disrespected, and so I'm kind of adjusting where,
you're
like,
for
like
that,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm holding them being any higher than, like, a top 10 team, top 8 team. You know, we did say that they would be Wisconsin, but no Johnny Davis. But they've been very hot. Marquette, Xavier, UConn, and they do have like Wesley said, Villanova twice, I believe, and then they also have to play Xavier again. So, I mean, you know, my whole position might change depending on how these final few games go.
Xavier stinks. I'm not worried about them. That'll be Providence. It'll be Providence by 25, in my opinion. But anyways, let's keep it going here.
Got another Big East team. We're going to follow it up with Nova.
I'll start it off, I guess, with Nova. I'm going to buy Villanova. Villanova started, they obviously had a rough start to the season with three losses out of conference. They scheduled probably the hardest out of conference behind Gonzaga, second hardest, I'd say. I mean, they scheduled UCLA, Tennessee, Purdue, and Baylor. Like, are we serious? Yeah, like, that is a ridiculous schedule. Picked up a win against Tennessee, but obviously lost to UCLA, Purdue, and Baylor. Baylor loss was bad. But ever since that Baylor and then that following Creighton loss, Jay Wright's had picked up some great wins. Obviously, the Marquette loss at home was a huge loss, but they do get redemption at the Pfizer Forum. So
tomorrow night, maybe.
Might not be getting redemption if Marquette wins it. Isn't that right, Alex?
But it's an opportunity for redemption.
Yeah.
And I think this team is too talented. I think they're the best team in the Big East. I do think they are better than Providence, personally. That obviously could change, though, with these. They haven't played each other yet, so we don't really know where the line in the sand has been drawn on that. But I think they're better than the five-loss team than they are right now. They are incredibly talented. Their starting five is immaculate, I would say. They're all capable of scoring double figures, all their starting five. They're the best coach team in the Big East. They have Jay Wright, so I think that's an X-factor ability. If we're playing a video game here, I think Jay Wright being there is a huge plus for Villanova. And I'm buying Villanova where they're at right now. I haven't checked bracketology on Villanova recently. Where are they at? Like, what's
three
their
or
line
four?
At? Three or four. So I think I'm at probably two or three.
I'll go next because I semi-disagree. I'm going to sell/hold, and the only reason I'm going to /hold it is because they have Jay Wright coaching.
Stole my thunder. I was going to say something.
I disagree. I don't think they have nearly as good of a team they have had in past years. They don't have a very good big man. I don't think Jermaine Samuels is playing to the level he was last year. I think they rely way too much on Colin Gillespie and Justin Moore. I think Nova is slightly overrated, in my opinion. I think Providence is a better team than Villanova. And for those reasons, I may hold/sell.
See, I went hold, but I had sort of a similar thought process. I initially wanted to sell them, but at the end of the day, selling a Jay Wright team is just typically not a good idea.
Yeah.
Especially when the games become important, as they do,
yep,
come March. Colin Gillespie is obviously a key piece, and you disagree with Wesley that they have a good starting five. You guys were sharing some cues there. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think they have a great starting five. I don't think they're very deep at all. They only really go six deep.
Yeah,
they're like Wisconsin, like that. Caleb Daniels
is
having a good season.
And Wesley mentioned that they had a really good out-of-conference schedule, or a really tough out-of-conference schedule, I should say. Apologies. And they did. They played a lot of good, hard teams, but as far as Big East play is concerned, they played some stinkers. They played, I think, DePaul twice. They played Butler. They played Georgetown. You know, those are sort of some easy wins. We'll really see what Villanova is made of when they play Providence twice coming up.
UConn as well.
I tend to think Providence is the better team. The only reason I'm not selling Nova is Jay Wright, so I'll hold him.
I agree with Charlie. I have him as a hold as well. Like Wesley said, they got the coach, got the pedigree. Their losses earlier in the season they are explainable, as they were in UCLA, Purdue, Baylor. After that loss to Marquette, I don't see them losing to Marquette tomorrow. I'm sorry, Alex. I don't.
We'll get into that pick later.
Along with Connecticut, Providence coming up. I think, like, in the tournament, you know, I think they can go a long way just because of where they've been, their coach, and I like it. You know, you said Colin Gillespie kind of, you know, he's got a lot of the burden on his shoulders for the team, and
he's back though. He didn't play in March Madness last year with his injury.
Yeah. Could be hungry.
You did see Marquette kind of exploit that. I mean, they held him to 10 points, and they did beat him. So if they can do that again tomorrow, who knows? But I don't hold them. I want to see how they do in the next couple of weeks against some of the top competition they got in the Big East, and we'll reevaluate from there.
I do agree with Alex in that Jermaine Samuels has played like kind of garbage this year, and he needs to step it up for Villanova to make a big jump. I think they're still the best team, talent-wise, in the Big East, though.
Okay, moving on. Next team, we got Michigan State.
I'll start off with Michigan State. I'm selling Michigan State. I think that Michigan State is a little bit more inconsistent than people realize. You look at their resume just from an outsider's perspective, and all their losses look pretty good, aside from the Northwestern one. But, I mean, they've lost to Northwestern, and then they lost to Illinois, which, you know, you think it's a good loss, but they didn't have Kofi Coburn that game. In my opinion, playing an Illinois team without Kofi is a pretty bad loss. They only beat Minnesota and Maryland by 2 points. Am I correct on that one, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I just think they're slightly overvalued. Like, I really like Max Christie. I really like some pieces on that team, but they've had a relatively easy Big Ten schedule, and I don't know. I'm selling Michigan State. What are your guys' thoughts on this one?
I'm holding Michigan State. I think that win against Wisconsin kind of pushed me over the edge, just seeing them in person, how they're playing and playing that well. I think that's kind of their peak performances, that game against Wisconsin. That was probably as good as they can play and beat a good Wisconsin team on the road at the Kohl Center. So that was a great win.
It was a good win, but
yeah,
I feel like every bounce went their way, every call went their way. I don't know. That could be a biased perspective.
No Tyler Wall.
No Tyler Wall. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, they're right on the edge. I think I'm holding because I like where they're at right now, right around the mid 15. They're a 15-20 team. I think I like them probably in the 5 or 6 line come March, and I'm guessing that's maybe where they are, maybe 4 or 5 line right now. I don't know. I haven't checked on that.
I bet they're at least a 4.
Yeah, I think they're around 4 or 5.
4 or 5. I think that's where I like them. So I'm just gonna kind of stay neutral on that because there's a lot of things I don't like about them, but then there's a lot of things I do like, and I like that they're deep. They're a deep team, and they do play a lot of guys. They don't have any star power. We've kind of been saying this the whole year, though. They don't have that guy that's going to get that bucket in that time. They kind of move it around, so I do like that. It's a team game, not a lot of guys contributing, and I like their depth, so I'm a firm hold on Michigan State.
I'm a firm sell on Michigan State. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Besides that Wisconsin game, without Tyler Wall, I'm not really impressed with really any win that they have over the course of since November. It's just the beginning of the year. Like, Maryland, they lost to Northwestern, which just, that reeks. Mm-hmm. Beat Nebraska, like, they beat Northwestern, like, Penn State. These are not really impressive wins as far as I'm concerned. And, I mean, we'll get to see them. Some prime opportunities to see how they match up against Wisconsin next Tuesday, and then a week from now, and they play Indiana, Illinois again. They got Purdue, Ohio State. They're playing literally the actual muscle of the Big Ten, and so I'm not really impressed with Michigan State.
It could change though. We'll see how those last.
This is a really tough one for me, and for that reason, I'm gonna have to hold. I like the piece they got on their team. Max Christie has taken a jump from the beginning of the year. You look at their out-of-conference play, they got beat up pretty good by Kansas and Baylor at the start of the season, but they've started to play a lot better basketball as of late. I agree with Wesley. I love their depth. They are well-coached. Tom Izzo, noted great coach.
He doesn't lose. He doesn't lose two in a row often.
I think they have a good amount of talent. Joey Hauser, Malik Hall has been very good.
I think Hauser actually doesn't get talked about enough.
I think Hauser kind of stinks.
I don't know if he's used in the right way.
Okay, fair. Personally. Maybe yes, but the way that Tom Izzo uses him when he plays, he stinks.
Tom Izzo's never really used him in the right way. I feel like he'll always bring off the bench. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because Joey Hauser is very talented, in my opinion. He can stretch the floor. I don't know. I'm gonna hold Michigan.
They don't really
State.
Give him enough shots.
Yeah, it's a good. It's a fair point. I mean, he's getting 20-plus minutes, but he's taking 5 shots or whatever he takes.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
They did beat UConn early in the season, who I am very high on. So I'm going to hold Michigan State.
All right.
And then this is where it gets interesting.
We got
the two hometown teams. We're going to start with the Badgers.
Badgers. I think I'll start it off as the longtime Badger fan. And I'm going to hold the Badgers. This team, obviously, we've seen throughout the season that if they lose any of their key core players, they're prone to losing to any team in college basketball within the top 150, I'd say. They are a super, super top-heavy team. They have 5 guys, and whenever they dig into the bench, it's an issue. I don't think they...
It's a problem.
It's a serious problem. I actually don't know if they have, like, a true sixth man, maybe Lord Bowman, like... If that counts, I guess. I mean,
he's all you really
he's
got.
He's kind of all you got. I mean, they are first in Big Ten right now. So, like, I like where they're at. I think their peak is around 9-10. I don't think they can get any higher than that. Obviously, Johnny Davis is my player of the year vote right now, just because how much he's carried this team. But they do have some tough games coming up. They got Illinois tomorrow night at Illinois. I believe Kofi is... I think he played in the previous game for Illinois, so I think he will be back in that one too. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup all season, but... Then they got Purdue later on in the season, but you can't discredit Wisconsin for picking up all the great wins throughout throughout the beginning and the middle part of the season. So I'm a hold on Wisconsin. I would like to be a buy, hopefully. Maybe they'll convince me to be a buy, but right now I'm a hold on Wisconsin just based off their lack of depth. And actually, I want to say I got to give credit to Greg Gard. He's put together a nice season this year.
Yeah. Alex, what are your thoughts?
I'm buying Wisconsin. What haven't they done? They have great wins. In my eyes, I've only really seen them play one bad game, and that was against Ohio State on the road. We talked about Providence, no Johnny Davis. We talked about Michigan State. Charlie, you were at the game. They didn't get many calls. It felt like every bounce was going against them.
Yeah, they didn't. They got hacked
a lot. Talk about their depth, but I think Johnny Davis makes up for that. I mean, he's for sure a top three player in the country. You can make the case that he's number one. I'm buying Wisconsin. I think they've shown me plenty.
Love to hear it.
I'm about as firm of a hold as a hold can be. Wisconsin's resume thus far has been impeccable, as Alex mentioned. They pick up all these good wins, and you can say, oh, it's early in the year, it's this, that. No. Wisconsin's played some real good ball at the start of the year.
Yes.
But the depth just keeps coming back, Wesley. You're so right about the depth. It's like you missed Tyler Wall, who's maybe your third most important piece.
Third, yes.
And it's
firm third.
You can argue second or third between him and Brad. I don't care.
I think he's second because he's the best.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even when you're missing your second most important piece, you should still be able to look competitive, which they did not look in the Michigan State game without him. Mm-hmm. The depth has always been a piece and a problem. And, you know, these last few weeks, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they haven't really been blowing out teams. You know, they'll beat Minnesota by six.
I have to counteract that, though, but they've never been a blowout team. That's just their style. That's just brand a ball.
That's a very good point.
That's a valid point, give you that. But, you know, while the things I'm saying might lean me towards a sell, you physically can't sell when you have Johnny Davis, the National Player of the Year.
And probably Brad's been playing really good, too.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, Brad's been hot recently.
I'll hold Wisconsin.
Brad's been hot.
You know, you guys aren't going to be surprised by this, but I'm not a fan of Wisconsin basketball.
You
I am selling Wisconsin despite what they have accomplished thus far. This is like an insult to them, but it's also kind of giving credit. There's literally 4v5 out there with Carter Gilmore on the floor. They're playing 4v5 and winning games that nobody thought they would win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but that's exactly my reason why I'm selling. I don't think the depth is an issue. I've never really been a fan of Brad Davison. He's clutch when it matters. He drops buckets.
He's been shooting pretty good this year, though.
But they don't have a big man. That is my biggest concern for them when it comes to March Madness. Yeah. You get a team where the team has a dominant big man that can score, rebound the ball.
And we'll see that tomorrow night.
And Wisconsin's going to run into some problems.
I think Chris Vogt is going to have to play a monster role if they want any chance at keeping Kofi.
We'll also see it a little bit down the line when Cliff Omorui comes into town. So
are we serious?
Cliff is way better than Stephen Crowell, in my eyes.
Cliff is a phenomenal rebounder and defender.
Cliff would dominate Crowell, in my opinion, but we'll get there.
He's got a little extra LBSs on top of him. Yeah,
all right, last team, Marquette.
You started off,
Hometown
Alex.
Hero, kick it off.
This is your one.
I'm going to buy.
Bang.
I mean, I think you guys all saw that one coming. Hottest, well, maybe not anymore. They just lost to Providence, but it was close.
I would say it's still hottest. I would say.
They have a top 25 defense in the country, according to Ken Pom's defensive efficiency. I think they're sitting around 22 right now. Leonardo's got them on the 5 line.
Which is impressive as a 7-loss and 24th ranked team. Credit to Marquette.
Credit
to Marquette.
Now, Marquette is the opposite of Wisconsin. They are a deep team. Mm-hmm. They can go 8-9 guys deep. They've been shooting the ball a lot better recently. I think they're starting to put it together. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also buying Marquette. They had a rough start to the season. I mean, they were, what, a 500 team, something like that. Obviously with some good losses as well, but my God, have they been hot recently. And that Providence game, obviously on the road and losing by 2.
And they had a chance.
To a great Providence team. And they had a chance. This Marquette team, they're playing great ball at the right time. And I love where they're going. I do think they're a great team. And I think Shaka I think we were all kind of like, oh, Shaka, maybe he's going to take a couple years to get into it. It took him, what, 10 games? And here we are. He's, boom, he's into the swing of things. He's got his rotations down. He's got his guys. And he's doing it faster than I thought he was going to do. I thought it would take a year, maybe 2 years for him to kind of get his groove at Marquette. But he picked it up halfway through the season, and they've been hot recently. I'm all in on the Marquette Golden Eagles.
Marquette's probably the one team I watch the most basketball of.
That's fair.
Easily. And, you know, I'm in between a buy, hold, slash hold, you know. They've been very impressive early in the season. They have a few bad losses, like Creighton. Then they lose to the Bonnies.
They did.
The
Bonnies, that's the worst loss. This is very early in the year. And Xavier. This is very early in the year. Quote-unquote bad loss, quote-unquote fraud, so.
And on the road. On the road.
And
Xavier, I would consider that a bad loss. I hate Xavier so much.
The only reason that I'm considering even holding them is based on their upcoming schedule and the fact that they, in my opinion, are the worst rebounding team I've ever seen play basketball. They cannot rebound the ball. Yeah,
that's one knack on Marquette. Struggle to rebound.
And so I think that they play Villanova, they play at Connecticut. But other than that, they kind of got like a nice little coast the rest of the way. With some of the scrubs of the Big East,
they got their tough games out.
It's kind of hard if you lose to Villanova and Connecticut, but you win the rest of the scrubby games. That's why I know why I'm holding them. And then when you get into March Madness, they are an incredibly young team.
This is true.
Could that be a problem?
That's my only real concern with Marquette.
Inexperience.
They're a young team. Like, I don't.
Inexperience with a new coach.
I don't think they really play like a young team. You look at the beginning of the season when they lost, they turned the ball over, and now turnovers aren't really a problem for us, I would say.
And most teams starting off 500, I don't want to say they'd fold, but like don't know how to bounce back in the way that they did.
They know how to win close games. I'll say that. It didn't go their way against Providence in their last game. But they have won a lot of close games.
And they were this close to winning that game, too. And that's, I'm going to buy Marquette. They're still really hot. I don't care that they lost to Providence by 3 points. This Marquette team is still really hot. They still look good that whole game. I don't have much else to add to what you guys said. I'm not going to doubt Marquette.
I'll just add one more thing. Justin Lewis has a case for the best player in the Big East.
I agree.
He has a case.
I agree.
Still give it to C.G. Gillespie, but he has a case.
You know who the key to that team is, though, Hoster?
It's
Daryl Morsell. I think it's Daryl.
You're gonna say Tyler Kolak.
I think it is Tyler Kolak.
Look
in the Providence game, he had zero assists.
When Marquette at the beginning of the year, they were winning all they won. They started off very hot, and Morsell was dropping 20 a game. He was on fire, and then they went on a cold streak, and he was playing some horrible basketball.
I just think
I tend to agree with Dave.
He's been playing great basketball.
He's been playing great basketball. Recently. Other than that Seton Hall game where he stunk up the whole joint, he's had a nice past month of basketball.
Yes, you can say the same thing about Tyler Kolak. Beginning of the season, he was turning the ball over, and I think today, right now, he runs Marquette's offense. I think the offense is very stagnant.
He does have the ball in his hands a lot.
I think
I would love to see
very
the time
stagnant
on
without
that
it.
We'll see if he can finish it.
Because I don't think, because Daryl Morsell is not a true pass-first point guard. Well, I know pass-first guard, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's the only guy that's like facilitating because Jalu's not. Kerkwath is 100% not. And Olmec's Prosper.
What did he have? What are you serious? 7 blocks the other day or something? Like, what?
But it's nice.
All right, should we get into the recaps? Obviously, we just spent about half an hour with the special segment. We're not going to be recapping nearly as many games as we normally do.
Just the major
games. We'll probably be recapping major games. So what, should we start a week ago from today?
Last Tuesday, January 25th. We'll start off with Illinois beating Michigan State at home. This is the game we mentioned in the Michigan State kind of breakdown of buy and sell and hold. They didn't have Kofi in this game, but picked up a win at home, 56-55, I'd say.
Refresh my memory. I was watching the beginning of this game. Either Michigan State had a huge lead and choked it, or Illinois had a huge lead.
Illinois was up
almost
by 14 at
okay,
half.
That's
34
what it was.
To 20.
Illinois had a big lead and almost gave it up.
Yeah. So, but credit to them closing it out without their best player and arguably the second best player, maybe the best player in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It can go either way, but
yeah, I think Illinois can win in a lot of ways. They can drop 85 on your head, or in this game, they can hold Michigan State to 55.
Yes.
Slug it out.
And as much as I love this Illinois team, while at the same time disliking this Michigan State team as I sold them, I do have to admit that, you know, Max Christie did go 1-for-8. and you have 2 points. Like, that's not going to happen very often.
Yeah, he's had a nice year, so
I'll at least throw that in.
I mean, but they're not going to be playing games without Kofi or Michigan State.
Another good point.
Playing against Kofi or without Kofi for a while. So
yeah. Want to mention this game because it was a tight one and a scary one for Auburn on the road at Mizzou, beating Mizzou 55-54. That was a close game. I think it was.
I just got to say, thank goodness that Auburn won this game, because if they would have lost, it would have just been Gonzaga number one for the rest of the year, basically.
Yeah, because Gonzaga is not going to probably lose another game.
I don't
know. BYU, St. Mary's, are you serious?
Gonzaga probably didn't lose another game until March Madness.
San Fran is their only competition, and they ain't even that good, so.
Yeah, I mean, this game was way closer than it should be, but I'm not too worried. Jabari Smith is never going to go 2 of 15 from the floor ever again.
Good point. Good point. This was another great game. Kentucky at home against Mississippi State. This game went into overtime. Alex and I got a chance to watch this game. That was a great ending. Mississippi State couldn't pull it out. They got dominated in overtime. I think Oscar Sheba, what did he have, 23 rebounds?
21 and 22.
21 and 22. He had an absolute monster rebound night.
David, I know you love this Kentucky team. What do you love about them?
They have some great guards. And you compare that with a big man in Oscar, and it's like, How do you stop it? The guy who gets 20 rebounds, like, that's insane. They were without Ty Washington. I believe they suffered a few losses without Ty. But, you know, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of excusable. I love Ty.
And this Mississippi State team is not bad either.
Don't sleep. Iverson Molinar. Dirty bomb in this game.
He did.
We talked about
it. A far cry from the Mississippi State teams that were led by the Quinterly brothers.
Yep.
Or no, not the Quinterly. The Witherspoon brothers.
But yeah, Iverson Molnar.
Because his first name was Quinadary. That's why I was
Quinadary.
Quinadary Witherspoon. You remember him?
I do remember that guy. But 30 points without any threes in this game for Iverson. So impressive performance. He kind of carried the team.
They were down 15 and came back.
Yeah,
he's a bucket getter.
On the road too. So credit to Mississippi State for making that a great game.
They only scored 2 points in overtime, which, well, that'll lose you a lot of games.
That will normally lose you games. And then capping off this night with a great game that was, or coming in, was expected to be a great game. UCLA dominates Arizona at home, 75-59. I think this dropped Arizona to seven. Yeah. So, great win for UCLA. It was a true team effort in this game. They shot 50% from the field and 47% from three. Four out of five stars in double figures, and Tiger Campbell had 9, so we could round up maybe.
Yeah. We did mention last podcast that we kind of wanted to see UCLA play a team like Arizona to see if they really were as good as their ranking was, because they hadn't done much for most of the year, and they 100%, to their credit, proved themselves. They looked really good.
They did look great.
I will say, though, Arizona got a lot of good looks in this game. Kirk Carrizo, who's a very good shooter, was 0 of 9 from 3, and I didn't think he was getting that bad of looks. I just think it was an off-shooting night for Zona, but credit to you, Sailor.
Oh, my God. Well, he went 0 of 12 the
other night. He's a good shooter, too.
They had two dudes finish with 0 points. Daylen Terrio is 0 points.
Also, so it's kind
of like, and Benedict Jordan had 5 of 22 from the field.
It was an off night for Zona. I wouldn't be
sub 20% field goal shooting. That's pretty horrendous. That wraps up the game from Tuesday. Then we can move into Wednesday. We can start off with Providence taking on Xavier on the road. Providence picks up a great road win, 65-62, proving their case to jump up in the rankings from 17. They only moved up 2 spots. Wow, that's actually kind of crazy. I thought they were lower than that before then, but
Al Durham was on fire.
He was not on fire.
Okay, fine. He finished 5-16.
This is my point. Fun fact, Al Durham has more free throw attempts, I think, than the entire Providence team. Like, him alone.
Okay, in the Wisconsin game, he was always at the line. Always! Now that I think about it, he was at the line way too much. And he would always chirp the Wisconsin game.
I guess he just knows how to get calls.
Maybe. He's like James Harden.
We've talked about this Providence team, though, so I don't have too much more to elaborate on them.
Great bench performance. 26 off the bench for Providence that game, so they're a deep-ish team, and if they can have 7 strong guys that can perform for them, that'll go a long way to come March. Tennessee picks up a home win against Florida, 78-71, and
there was a fight at the end of that game. Really? Am I right in saying that?
I did not get.
I saw some sort of scuffle at the end of that game. Maybe I'm thinking of a different Florida game, but I'm pretty sure it was
Florida boys.
Florida,
classic.
Trying to throw hands. Iowa State wins on the road at Oak State, 84-81 in overtime. A little scary game. I mean, Oak State, how do we feel about Oak State? Are they, like, considered a mediocre Big 12 team?
They're
or are they
10 bottom? I would, dude, they're 10-9, yeah. But I honestly don't think they're that bad.
I agree.
I think they're better
than they still have a few layovers from last year's team, which was pretty good.
Everyone but Kate.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, likely they have Anderson.
Bryce Thompson. They have the Boone brothers.
The Boone that brothers. That really shows how important Cade was.
Yeah.
Yep.
For those at home.
For those watching. Marquette picks up a great road win at Seton Hall, 73-63. Seton Hall's kind of fallen off recently, but still, a road win in the Big East is a road win in the Big East.
It was the J. Lou show. 33-9-6.
He
gave him some buckets.
He was splashing too, 4-7 from three. Not really known as a true shooter, but he's scary efficient from three. I do have to give him credit for that. I feel like he has, just by watching games.
Let's look. Let's check.
What's his three-point percentage looking like? I might be totally wrong in the percentage department.
No, I think it's all right.
33%, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's
32.7, yeah.
It might just be heightened by some games. Like his last, before the Providence game that they had most recently played, he was 4-7, 4-7, 5-8 from three in those three straight games.
So he's been better lately.
Yeah, I guess he's been picking it up, and that's probably where I was basing off. But great plays by J. Lou dropping 33 in that game. VCU beats Davidson. Davidson
Thank Frost. You, VCU.
No, actually, I disagree. I wanted Davidson to keep going, so it was an easy pick. It's like when Virginia makes the bracket, it's just an easy pick.
It's an easy upset pick that you know you'll get right. I kind of know what you're saying, but at the same time, just Davidson pisses me off so much.
They
never deserve
to be
right.
Almost lost my parlay the other day against, who is it?
Fordham.
Yeah, what?
Fordham plays in a high school gym, so as far as I'm concerned, that would be the worst loss of the year.
The worst loss ever, but... Oh, God. Davidson, good to see them not ranked anymore, but sad to see them not ranked because I wanted the easy pick, but you can only have so much in college basketball. That wraps up then Wednesday. Moving into Thursday, Wisconsin beats Nebraska on the road as expected, 73-65. If they would have lost that one, we would have had some serious issues. Ohio State beats Minnesota, 75-64 at the Barn. And
the Barn is such a cool name, in my opinion.
A cool name. And Purdue shuts down Iowa 83-73 at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
King Statpad only had 14 in this one.
King Statpad, 4 of 11. He has been...
He got 100% outplayed by his brother.
He did.
Chris Murray had quite the game.
Chris Murray, 6 of 15, 23 points. He's actually not that bad of a player. He's a solid player. And he fouled out that game, too.
What did J-Bo have that game?
J-Bo, 2 of 6, 6 points. J-Bo is awful.
He's cooked. Like, we use that term kind of loosely, but J-Bo's cooked. Like,
he's done.
His time in the sun, it's up.
He should be sitting at a desk right now doing business and making money.
He should
money.
Be balancing debits and credits right now, not shooting a basketball.
Exactly. This is ridiculous. He should have been long gone. I don't know why. Like, when you come back, like, you're normally like, yeah, I still got something left in the tank. He just looks, like, defeated almost. Thanks. Which I'm happy about it. Because
I always kind of like J-Bo.
He's a scumbag.
Really? Ooh. Well, he's best friends with Geo Baker, so I automatically love him. That's just how it works.
tournament well, aspirations for
Rutgers. I heard he'd gotten some bar fights in the past year or something in Iowa or something. I've heard.
Probably because some kid walked up to him and said, you're cooked. Like, just said you're done.
Well, he's weak-minded then. So even worse. Even worse. Just playing right into it. But a good win for Purdue. I don't really like this Iowa team. I know Luke would probably say otherwise and say, oh, well, blame it on Fran, but I think this team...
No, Luke likes Fran, doesn't he?
I'll blame it on Fran.
The Fran fade does exist.
It's a thing.
All Iowa Hawkeye fans like to overuse it, probably, but year in and year out, it's a tried and true formula, so it has worked. And then closing off the night in the Pac-12, Stanford beats USC 64-61. Just proving USC's fraudulency, in my opinion.
I agree.
I tend to agree as well.
I think there's
Stanford swept USC.
I think the best two Pac-12 teams, or best three Pac-12 teams, it goes Baylor, Zona. I mean, sorry, not Baylor.
I was going to say.
UCLA, Zona, and then Oregon.
Yeah, I agree.
So, a UCLA-Zona rematch, I believe, this week. Or it's coming up. Right? They play again.
Yeah, they do play soon.
I think Arizona comes out on top that time.
I don't know if Oregon's better than USC. They just lost to Skull Buffs at home.
I don't care.
Who cares? They beat
Skull Buffs does not have McKinley Wright, guys.
Wait, was it in Colorado?
They might.
No, it was in Oregon.
Okay, that is a bad one. Okay.
McKinley Wright, maybe Evan, whatever his name is still there, the big dude.
Oh, Batty?
Evan Batty.
Yeah.
He's probably still there.
I doubt he's still there.
He has to be.
No.
He is still there.
Okay, Evan Batty is really nice.
Dude, he only had 8 points, but I'm sorry. Oregon is not better than USC if you're losing a Skull yep. Buffs at home.
Give me Oregon.
I'm taking Oregon over
USC. Let's move on here.
Moving in then. I think that wraps up Friday. Moving in then to Saturday. This was, I think, a pretty decent day of college buckets. We started off Duke beats Louisville on the road, 74-65. TCU, how do you like them? Medium rare. Picks up a home win, 77-68 over LSU.
You guys have kind of been high on LSU all year, and I really have sort of not liked them. And every time you guys try to persuade me the other way, they just have losses like this. And I know Alex thinks TCU is a pretty good team, and maybe they are.
They don't have their point guard. Xavier Pinson was. This was his first game back from injury.
And their best player.
Played 7 minutes.
And their best player.
I wouldn't say he's their best player, but he's a clear leader on the team.
As this podcast is being recorded, LSU is currently down 11 to Ole Miss with 10 minutes left.
Thank you. Once again.
They were down 23, they've closed the gap.
I was a huge LSU fan. Like when because when you have a defense that's as good as theirs, but I mean, when it was at the beginning of the season, they had the best defense in the nation. And I was like, you know, defense wins you championships.
I'll be picking against LSU in March again. Hopefully they play a team that's a little bit better than the Bonnies this year, though, because that pick didn't go too well for me last year.
LSU has
they were the best of the worst.
LSU was a cakewalk for the rest of the season. They play Vandy, Texas A&M, which is Texas A&M sneaky, could be a tough matchup, Mississippi State, Georgia, South Carolina, and then Missouri. The hardest matchup left is Kentucky, which is obviously hard, but besides that, if they can't win
the rest of those games...
We're going to have some problems.
We might have some issues. Michigan State picks up a good home win against Michigan, 83-67. Iowa State rebounds beating Missouri. And Auburn picks up a nice big road win or home win against Oklahoma, 86-68. Auburn just coasting, and they're a fun team to watch too. I want to mention this now. Vatek picks up a great road win, 85-72 at Florida State, who had been surging as of recent.
Oh, look at the mean green North Texas La Tech.
North Texas La Tech. David, do you want to shout out the score on that game?
63-62. I love betting on La Tech in the last two games.
It hasn't gone too well for you.
I think that's a conference I will be paying attention to down the stretch.
Yeah, pay attention to Conference USA.
There's some fun teams.
They're
in
good
there.
This year. Three good teams that could all win a game in March.
Yeah.
I think last year North Texas that was kind of a shock to everybody.
That was a lucky win.
Maybe. I kind of tend to agree.
Purdue shot like 22%
that game. Team was talented. Just as talented as they were this year, except Ed progressed a little bit more. And Ivy.
It was a younger Ivy as well.
Moving into then the SEC Big 12 Challenge, a more meaningful game. Alabama picks up a great win against Baylor, kind of pushing their case to be a bye team in this week's episode. Great win for Alabama.
No LJ Cryer on this one for Baylor.
An important note. Villanova picks up a good win against St. John's, 73-62 at home. Illinois beats Northwestern on the road, 59-56. And then another great SEC Big 12 challenge. Kentucky defeats Kansas, 80-62, proving why Kentucky deserves to be a top five team in the country.
That was a convincing win.
Keon Brooks could not miss in that game. I think he had like 14 straight points at one point. He was on fire.
And she had his classic 17 and 14, classic big double-double.
I'm just going to go out there and say, if the tournament started today, Kentucky would be my winner pick.
It'd be them or Auburn for me.
I mean, you got Sevier Wheeler and Oscar Tshiebwe. You put them in pick and roll. You first off have to stop Sevier with the ball, because if you don't, he'll take that to the rack easy. You got to stop Tshiebwe. And if you collapse the defense, they got shooters all around them. Kellen Grady leading the SEC in 3-point field goal percentage.
And Kentucky won this game by 18 with Ty Washington being 1 of 9 from the field.
Yeah, he was not.
He was broke coming back off an injury, but still broke nonetheless. And
not worried. He's got plenty of opportunities.
I know. I'm not worried. Texas Tech picks up a win against Mississippi State by 26, 76-50. Dominating fashion for TTU.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, you do hate to see it.
Man, I want Texas to be good at basketball. I want Texas to be good at all sports. And football, they're just overhyped every year in every sport. And I just can't wait till they actually go
to the house again. Tech or Texas?
No, just Texas. I was like, my bad.
Texas coming up now.
I was jumping ahead. I heard Texas and I Texas immediately did beat, thought Texas.
They did 18 beat Tennessee. Tennessee at home.
52-51.
I mean, raised to 50.
Fraud teams.
I kind of agree.
How many Texas games have we mentioned where Texas is winning scoring like 50? Like, that's ridiculous. That's not going to cut it.
We haven't mentioned that many games where Texas has been winning, at least as of late.
But I remember like a week ago we mentioned Texas beating Oak State 53-52.
Before we started recording this podcast, we were tuning into Texas versus Texas Tech. And I forget which one of you it was. I think it was Alex. Made a really good point. I think it was actually Alex and Wesley. Marcus Carr is completely different from Carr the Star that we saw last year at Minnesota.
Well, Carr the Star had more opportunities in Minnesota, let's be fair. But
I don't care. He was dropping a 30-piece McNugget with barbecue sauce last year. He's got a lot of
talent around him.
Texas, they are losing right now. Texas is losing to Texas Tech right now.
I think that one we can also come in, to be fair.
Beard coming back to Lubbock, and it ain't going to go well, I'd say. The Texas Tech fans are They're really diehard there. So love to see it. I love seeing TTU succeed. That wraps up Saturday. Moving into Sunday, Purdue picks up a good win against Ohio State, 81-78. I feel like
let's talk about the
Ohio State
game-winning shot on this one.
Yep,
they had no business being even.
Yeah, Purdue blew a very big second half lead.
And then Jaden Ivey to the rescue.
Jaden Ivey to the rescue is right. But I feel like we haven't really talked about Ohio State in about a month, honestly. I kind of just like how they seem like they're just kind of coasting.
Yeah, I kind of know what you're saying.
15-20 area.
You guys like Ohio State?
I don't. I've been very vocal about that.
I think they're too inconsistent.
I think they rely too much on one player.
And that's EJ.
You and me both agree they have, like, no guards.
We've been saying this all year. We thought Michi would be okay, but no. Michi stinks.
You can get by in the tournament with not a true, good, solidified big man, but you can't get by with no
Their guards. Best guard might be a freshman. I love Malachi Branham. EJ Liddell is overrated.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. It was just my personal feelings. You know, I don't like the guy at all. He sold in the tournament last year.
Dwayne Washington Jr. sold in the tournament last year. He went like 2 of 20.
Yep. He is the full sell in that game.
I can't
End
wait.
End of story.
I can't wait to pick against Ohio State again. Like, not in the first round, but I'm not big. I had him in my final four maybe last year.
Yeah, I had him final game.
Unbelievable.
I had him final four, and it was not a great feeling.
A little gut-wrenching.
I had him losing.
It's absolutely disgusting.
You had him losing early.
That's why your tank hung on for a while. Yeah, you just hung on for a while there. Providence, as we had mentioned probably at least 3 or 4 times this episode, picks up a win against Marquette at home, 65-63, with an electric crowd. Marquette actually having a chance to win this game down the stretch, but couldn't
let me just say, Tyler Kolak, 5 of 10 from the floor. It's got to be a record.
50%.
Yeah, and 40% from three. Woo! Definitely a record.
That's best shooter in practice, though. Yeah. Never forget.
Best shooter in practice. Give me a break.
Those are Shaka's words.
Yeah, I mean, and Providence. I know. Hey, they had a huge snowstorm. You know, adverse conditions outside and inside, in the court. Sorry.
I don't know. It is what it is. Marquette picks up or has their first loss in probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Man, if they could rebound, they would be set.
Wisconsin picks up a win 66-60 against Minnesota at the Kohl Center. And that wraps up Sunday's games. Monday, Duke puts up 57 against Notre Dame but wins.
I don't know who was talking about Notre Dame.
What did Prentice Hub do?
I'll check. Prentice Hub.
2 of 9. You know, the fall off of Prentice Hub, there really haven't been many things in modern civilization that have been as sad as that. I mean, Prentice Hub used to be the new hotness, and now here he is going 2 of 9 from the field.
Prentice
Hub. I'm sorry, but Notre Dame stinks.
If you're going to wrap your arms around Prentice Hub, then we have some serious
issues. He was unironically good last year. I don't know what happened.
Probably averaging like 13. Now he's averaging.
He's just not that guy anymore. I hate to say it.
I mean, we were talking about Iowa not that long ago. Iowa lost to Penn State.
They did lose to Penn State. I was going to mention that. They lost to Penn State on the road, 90-86, in double OT.
Imagine losing to Penn State. King Stabbed was highly inefficient from the floor. 6-18.
I think he's like been 30 to 40% from the field the past like 6-7 games. He's been off. Like, maybe King Stathead's really coming to fruition.
All I'm gonna say is Notre Dame, they will never be good unless they fire Mike Bray.
You've been saying this for a while. And I agree 100%.
And this is why I respect Louisville. Apprentice Hub, so I respect Louisville. Right. They just fired Chris Mack. Great fire in my opinion.
They just knew that it wasn't working.
Mike Bray, your time is done. He needs to go.
You gotta go. Done. I agree. I can get behind that. Notre Dame hasn't
they're
had
still
any
living
true
in
success.
The Pat Connaughton days.
They're like Bonzi Colson days.
I actually hate that team more than anybody else because really? They beat Stephen F. Austin on a last second tip in that second
probably
round
by
game
Bonzi
that
Colson.
Never should have happened.
No, it was by
bigger guy.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
I don't know his name, but it made me so mad.
I know.
Ripped my
exactly
bracket to shreds after that because I had 14 seeded SFA in my Elite Eight and they lost that game.
Yeah, that'll cause some anger for.
Think about it. If that Tippin, I know this is highly ABU, but like if that Tippin wouldn't have happened, I would have correctly predicted a 14 seed in the Sweet 16. That does not happen very often. So I will always hate Notre Dame because of that. Actually, I hope they keep Mike Bray forever.
Well, Prentice Hub is a special place to be heard.
That's true. I love Prentice.
Baylor picks up a home win against West Virginia.
That was lucky. As far as I'm concerned, West Virginia should have won. Taz Sherman left the game.
Baylor scored 50 points in the second half.
Yeah, but Taz Sherman was on fire.
When did Taz Sherman leave the game?
With like 3 minutes left, right in crunch time when they were tied.
He had 29.
6 of 11 from 3.
I was trying to watch that, and I was like, dude, I hope West Virginia wins, and they couldn't get it done.
But other than that, I believe that pretty much wraps up, other than the Horned Frogs beating Oklahoma. That wraps up the games for Monday. That's a good one for the Horned Frogs. On the road, to be fair.
Currently, scores, Alabama is down 16. Texas is down 9 to Texas Tech. St. John's, man. Do I want St. John's.
They're holding on. They're down 6 to Providence at home.
They need to
Providence is going to pull it. Posh, 22-8 assists. Ooh.
I don't know who's not picking up the slack on that team, but like he seems to be the only guy that's playing ball.
Julian lay the stinker?
Or is it just them?
Julian's been okay, but not great.
Some close games. LSU down 9 right now at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Creighton somehow beat UConn on the road.
Kansas beat Iowa State, as we mentioned, by 9.
Michigan State only beat Maryland by 2, as we alluded to earlier.
Yep. Other than that, no.
Any other games? Obviously, we don't have too much time left here, but does anybody want to point out some specific games in the future to look forward to?
Yes. Tomorrow we got Wisconsin at Illinois.
I will be taking Illinois.
I will as well.
Illinois with Kofi.
I can't imagine Wisconsin can handle a big, scary team.
Who
are you going to put on Kofi?
No one. It's Illinois. I think Illinois is going to win the game. Obviously, my heart will be somewhere else, but
I've got the Badgers.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think they're a better all-around team.
Tomorrow we got shooting night. We also got Marquette Nova.
Marquette Nova at the Fi Surf.
I got Nova.
Man, as much as I want.
I want Marquette sweep. Bring out the brooms.
I keep telling Hoster to put the tuition on Marquette. I told him last time that we played Villanova, and unfortunately
he didn't. So who's your pick?
Okay, fine. Definitely Nova.
Not a real fan. Alex, I'll pick Marquette for you.
Bring
I
out the brooms. Here comes Marquette, baby. Bounce back win. Not worried. Very confident. And then let's do two games quick here on Thursday. UCLA now going on the road to take on Arizona.
I see Zona. I have Zona. I think they bounce back.
I think they bounce back as well.
Give me Zona.
Ha! Give me UCLA. Actually, I think Juzang might have COVID. Low key.
Developing story after UCLA literally had 3.5 weeks of no basketball due to COVID.
No, I think he missed the last game. It depends.
Juzang is sidelined. But that was 5 days ago, so how long is he going to
be out? If Johnny's active, give me UCLA. If not, give me Zona. And then the last game, Iowa going on the road to Ohio State.
Iowa actually is terrible. Like, I hope they don't even make the bracket. I think they're
I hope they don't even make the bracket to Ohio State.
King Statpad might throw up another stinker.
Give me Ohio State.
OSU, are you thinking about taking Iowa?
I was looking at my phone. Oh. I wasn't even considering the game. But yeah, now it's no way I'm picking Iowa. I'm sorry. No way.
No chance. Right. Ohio State.
But I will be rooting for Jordan Bohannon to maybe drop 0 points.
That's classic. You don't really root for people to do bad, but Jordan Bohannon scoring 0 would make my heart warm.
There you go. All right, well, that wraps up all the games. It was great having a guest on for the first time. Dave, thank you for joining. It was a great time.
Thank you for having me. And until
next time, it's Made in March.